Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I would like to begin by reading a passage of Scripture from the book of Exodus, the 26th chapter, verses 30 through 37. And I'll entitle this message, Stepping Through the Veil. That's Exodus, the 26th chapter, verse 30. And these are the instructions God gave to Moses. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was shewed thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work, with the cherubim shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon the four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. The Lord was being very, very specific and detailed in terms of the instructions He gave, not only in terms of the construction of the sanctuary, but in all the things. He was very explicit, very precise in detail. Now, that word veil means to obscure or to conceal something from being seen. For example, remember Moses, when he was up in the mount, he was in the presence of the glory of God 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't drink water, he didn't eat, and he was face to face with God, and his face shone with the glory of God. And remember, the word says he had covered his face because of the glory of God, which shone on his face, and it diminished as he was back down the mountain. And as we look at this 26th chapter of Exodus, we see God directing that the veil of the temple be hung in the tabernacle. And this, of course, you know, they followed this through with the actual temple. The veil would make a division between the holy place where God's people could come and the most holy place, or the holiest of holies. The veil of the temple came between the priest and the glory of God's divine presence, which rested on the mercy seat and the ark of the testimony resting in the most holy place. Verse 30 says, And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was shewed thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work. As we look at this veil God said to make, let's look further down into time and see what this veil symbolized in part. Here we see that the veil was made of fine twined linen. And what could this speak to us of? Well, beloved, I would suggest here we can see the very nature and character of our Lord Jesus Christ as fine linen, pure and spotless. He came, the Son of God, yet the very Son of Man. His flesh was as our flesh when he came into this earth. He was born of a virgin, born of a human mother. His father was the Lord, God Almighty. The Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel said, will come upon you, speaking to Mary, and the holy power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, and the thing conceived in her womb would be the very Son of God. And so this beautiful gift to mankind, Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was absolutely pure and spotless. He had to be, in order to be the full, complete sacrifice to satisfy God's judgment. And when Satan came against Jesus Christ, he could find nothing wrong with him. His thoughts, his actions, his life was without reproach. And when we see how this linen veil was to be fine twined, we can see the texture, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life, which was pure and holy. Praise God. We see in Jesus both the divine and the human natures finely twined. He was the very Son of God and is the Son of God, and yet when he came to earth, he operated within the human nature. The miracles that he didn't do because he was the Son of God. He did them as the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's why, in spite of the Apocrypha that says, you know, Jesus did miracles when he was a boy, well, you know, as far as the written word declares, we hear nothing of any kind of public ministry until the way was prepared by John the Baptist. He was baptized in the Jordan by John. The Holy Spirit was seen in a visible form as a dove coming upon him. And then it says the word tells us he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to fast 40 days and nights. And when he came out in the power of God, that's when he began his public ministry. But he did it anointed by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if he was doing what he did as the Son of God, he couldn't ask us to do the same kinds of things. He said, you know, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. We couldn't do that. We're the sons, the children of God. But we can do that with the same power that Jesus was anointed with, the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in his earthly tabernacle, tasted every human emotion, every temptation, problem, and circumstances that you and I can experience, but he failed in nothing. He yielded to nothing. He was without sin, without spot or blemish. We see that the linen veil of the temple was to be finely twined of cunning work. We look at the life of Jesus and we see how the work of the Holy Ghost was a fine, cunning work. So perfect, so meticulous that there was absolutely no flaw in the only begotten Son of God incarnate in human flesh. The word of the Lord came unto Mary and stated, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And let's look at the veil itself. It was blue, purple, and scarlet. These same colors appear in the gate and the door because it is the same divine Son of Man, Son of God, all the way. The blue speaks of him who came from heaven. The scarlet speaks of him who bore the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of sins. The purple speaks of the Son of Man, the Son of God, who was rich but became poor. He laid aside his kingly royal prerogatives that, beloved, you and I might become rich in him, in Jesus, who died for the sins of the world, but arose in resurrection power and is the only blessed potentate and the only King of kings, who is king of a royal household and monarch of the universe. Praise God. And one final thought. That veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The veil of his flesh was torn, and now the unveiled Christ stands with his glory, the Christ of Revelation, in all of his majesty, in all of his glory. And we can now, unlike the high priest who could only come once a year before the Lord in the most holy place, now we can come boldly as his children before the very throne of God. My beloved, yea, hear the word of the Lord. Yea, I am the Lord, and there is none beside beside me, and I am calling throughout the earth this day. I am speaking by the Spirit of God. I am speaking in the pulpits of this nation. I am speaking in the home meetings around the world where my believers, my people are gathered in my name, and I am speaking, yea, arise, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Yea, it is time for you, yea, to put your hand to the plow, to roll up your sleeves, and to know that I am going to do a quick work in this final hour. I am going to move by the Spirit of the Lord across this land, across the nations of the earth, that the fields which are white to harvest shall be reaped, and every soul shall that is appointed for salvation shall be brought in, and the blind shall see, and the deaf shall hear, and the lame shall leap as a hart, and you shall see my word fulfilled in your life as you trust me, as you believe in me. I shall lead you in a straight way. I will not lead you in a way that will bring reproach. I will not lead you in a way that will put you to shame, but as you trust in me and as you wait upon me, yea, as it is written, they that wait upon the Lord shall not be ashamed. They shall not want any good thing. And you shall see, beloved, that there is a quick work and a clear work. Those things that you have asked of me, I have heard, and I will make a way, even in those difficult situations where it seems impossible. It seems the enemy has so entrenched himself. Be not disheartened, be not discouraged, for I am moving, and I shall call circumstances and situations to arise that shall cause the enemy, the strongholds that he has erected, shall be brought down, and you shall shake your head in wonder and in awe and amazement when you see how I shall move. I bear my holy arm in your behalf. You shall not be faint-hearted. You shall not be weak for the task, but I shall strengthen your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I am for you, and I love you, says your God. Praise God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, there is none like the Lord. Let's just take a moment and praise God. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mighty power. I thank you for the moving of the Spirit across this face of the earth. You said, Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea. And we praise you, Lord, that we are willing vessels. We are your servants. And we thank you, Lord. Our heart's desire is to see you glorified. Maranatha. Praise God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen and amen. At the time the Father says, praise God. Well, I'm stirred. I pray your hearts are stirred. And I invite you to meet me again next time as we gather together. And if you have prayer requests or if you just want to drop me a note, love to hear from you. The announcer will give our contact information. Till next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. This is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.